everywhere trying to figure things out. And then one thing Steve said is you're praying fast about this. So we decided praying and fasting and then come together and just talk about what we feel like where God's leading us. I guess each of us can have our individual leading, and then we bring it all together into figuring some things out. So before we get started, Dave, could you just say a prayer?
Yeah. Father, we count the blessing of today and all the things going on, the encouragement of the Criders and the reminiscing and honoring and glorifying you. We pray you were pleased with that, and that you felt honored and glorified while we also tried to lift up Jeff and Becky. We pray for their transition into retirement and what that looks like, and we pray for this congregational body's transition as he retires, and we fill gaps and listen to your voice and do what you call us to do. Help us figure out some logistics, some real practical things about how to best do that. Help us tune into your vision for this body and the things we ought to be doing and the things that are okay to let go of. And we ask for your clarity and your guidance and all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Steve, you might have pressure or something to Becky.
Go ahead, yeah.
So I text Becky and Jeff earlier. And Becky sent this. I thought I'd share with you guys. She said, "What an incredible day. My words are not anywhere near adequate, from the visits and hugs to the spirit-filled worship to an incredible decorated gym to a delicious meal to a heartwarming tribute. So much work was put into this celebration. Thank you for all the work you guys put into it. Prayers are with you guys tonight as you follow up the lead of God, and I love and appreciation to you all."
God honored what we were wanting to do today, so that was good.
Yes.
Okay, I guess let's just go around and share your experience with your praying and fasting and what if anything, God gave you some messages. Is that a fair way of saying it? So, whoever wants to start.
I flip through YouTube and YouTube Shorts and things like that. There's a variety of things that come up there. Sometimes it's a preacher lesson, and the one of the things that I came across didn't seem to be just haphazard. When a gentleman from the pulpit was telling his congregation that the greatest threat to the early church wasn't Rome and Nero or Caligula or whatever, it was seven widows in Acts chapter, a group of widows in Acts chapter 6. And his point was that threatened to derail the apostles' focus. And it says in Acts 6, "So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select among you seven men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. We devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" That found favor and everything. And I just thought that was, I'm not sure exactly what that's saying for us to do, but that principle where, whether that means we don't get caught up in the administrative things that is a gap we feel, or we hire for that gap and we, you know, stay focused on the word, or we hire to stay focused on the word and the spreading of the word, and find other ways to fill all the administrative, or we let go of some things. But I just thought that felt like a nugget to pay attention to. And it's not really the widows that were a threat, but the derailing of the mission for good reason, for things that feel good and appropriate to perpetuate. And it's like, let's guard against that.
Good. I had an interesting week, and that's, I chose Tuesday to fast and pray, and so I did that, and then sort of, I guess, listened the rest of the week, and quite honestly, not much happened. But then Dale and Dana came Friday for this thing and stayed with us, and I mean, we hadn't been talking an hour, and both of them were sharing that, you know, they were just quite surprised because they had moved to Lexington because both Bryce and Keith were there. And once they did move there, then Bryce and his wife moved to Okinawa. They're going to be there like 3 or 4 years, you know. And they said they just found out that Keith, you know, he's done quite well with Tempur-Pedic. He's like a senior vice president. I mean, he's doing quite well. They're moving their headquarters to Houston or to Dallas. And he'll probably be moving to Dallas. So this light goes off in my head, and I said, well, you know, not much there keeping you in Lexington. I said, you know, Dale, we would love for you guys to move back here, use your talents and skills, and particularly yours as far as, you know, being an administrative type minister, and just unlimited possibilities, you know. And he laughed and kind of giggled about it a little bit. And Dana was there too. And, you know, I could see her kind of contemplating and thinking. Mm. But unfortunately, they're pretty involved in their church there, and has just agreed to, they're hiring him to be a part-time minister for small groups, like 20 hours a week. I said, we can beat that. Whatever deal you have.
How about 90 hours? Yeah.
And you all know that's a passion of his, is small groups and stuff. So that is certainly a wrench in the works. But, I mean, I didn't let up all weekend, you know. I kept telling them, you know, that this was an opportunity they need to think and pray about. And I just thought, you know, I told him, I said, that's no coincidence, Dale. I said, all of us have been praying this week for wisdom on moving forward. We've talked about stepping outside the box and thinking outside the box and having some combination of duties. And you just have such gifts that would fit that. I said, this is God's answer to our prayers, to at least put this before you and let you think about it and pray about it and stuff like that. So I am starting a campaign tomorrow. I'm going to text him every day with 5 reasons why they need to move to St. Louis. So,
and
you guys do what you
know. And I'm having him in next week for 2 Cardinal games. So we'll, okay. Yeah. So, and that was before all this came up, but we'll make it work, I think.
So, you know, every time we talk about it, he would just kind of giggle about it. So I know this other small group thing is a big deal for him, but
yeah,
I don't know that. And I said, I told him this morning, I said, you know, and we don't have a timetable per se. I said, of course, we'd love something as soon as possible, but if we could work out something after, you know, a few months or whatever that we could do. I said, just remember, both your boys are moving away from Lexington. You don't have anything else there.
And they've not been in Lexington that long.
No,
just like a year.
Not even a year. And they bought a house that needed a lot of work, and he's just now getting it finished.
Perfect time. Oh, wow. Because the market.
They can sell it. Right. The market's going to be good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so anyway, it was very encouraging because I really felt like, you know, that was an answered prayer for me. I mean, because you think about what it is that we're kind of thinking, and if that could work out, that could, you know, combination of him and Michael Santiago or, you know, any other, I mean, lots of options there. And the fact that we don't really have a hard and fast timetable, you know, that we might have to limp along for a while or what, but so anyway.
I fasted Monday night, and we left here through Wednesday morning. I don't like fasting.
That's a 36-hour fast. That's a long fast. That's
good. Yeah. I just, so I appreciate you really encouraging us to do it. And I woke up Tuesday morning at 5 o'clock, and I heard Steve Walker's voice.
What?
And I wrote a bunch of these thoughts down. I got up.
It was angelic.
If we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results. And I thought about that and thought about that and just the whole discussion that we had. I'll read some of my notes here. Some of them may not make sense. What are the same things? How do we do church? What do we change with our worship? And that was more of like, okay, if we're going to bring in somebody that's not going to be the minister, the preaching minister all the time, what are some things we can do with that? That was part of that. What do we expect from the one we hire? And these are things we've all talked about. I just kind of wrote these down. And then here's one. Are we elders? And this is, I'm talking more about me. Are we leading in a closet? Is our leadership consists mainly in meetings on the first and third Mondays? How do we need to change? How do we lead the older generation? And that was more, okay, we're making all these changes. How can we continue to lead them with that? And then how do we grow the younger generation? And what groups are receptive to the gospel right now? And then whatever we do, I think it's really important that we have the congregation as part of the process, so we don't just come to them and say, this is what we're going to do, like, oh. And so just having part of the process, and then I even put down maybe having our elders leading focus groups with them to see what they want. So those were just thoughts, and all this from his comment, if we do the same thing, we're going to get the same results. I'm just thinking we've got to do some things differently.
A lot of questions. Any resolution, or what are you thinking?
All those questions kind of go along with if we keep the same thing, we're going to get the same results. So, I just had the questions that the thinking about and what do we do with that. So, no, I don't
you
have the rest.
Ask some more.
Do what?
You need to ask
48 hours.
No, I'm bringing these questions to us.
So, the one thing that pops in my head whenever you said that is Ethan. Because, you know, that was the conversation that we had, that he's very similar to Kreider, and that if we would have went with him, we would have ended up with the same thing,
right?
And we would have not had any different results. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just the thing that popped in my head just now as you're saying that it's like, so maybe that's one step that we didn't have to, so we were trying to make the same decision, partly because that was the only option we had. Or the best option we had. Mm-hmm. But it may have been probably the worst decision if we go back to that question.
Yeah, we thought, man, God's given us him.
Yeah,
this is great. Like right it's just a great fit. Thank you, God.
And so maybe it's to help us to be more comfortable with the idea of stepping out.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a lot of comfort from Jeff himself saying that our model, it should change.
Yeah.
That was, you know, convicting, and I was kind of feeling that, and, you know, you don't want to say we've been doing anything wrong, but, you know, that there's an opportunity here to be seized upon, and it doesn't insult him, canoes through the mountains, Lewis and Clark thing.
Yes, that's a great book to think about as far as doing some things differently, And what churches out there are growing and doing things differently.
Yeah, and Dale Robinson, where he's at in Lexington, 1,000 members, and they've been growing for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And that means since COVID.
Yeah.
And so I picked his brain just a little bit about, you know, how they're accomplishing things. Mm-hmm. And they've got a very dynamic primary lead, and he's quite the leader, and then a couple of administrative staff types that Dale put into two different camps. One guy is like running the not-for-profit things, and the other guy was
building.
I can't remember how he described
building. One guy is just the building.
Yeah, one guy was just the building.
The facility.
The other guy was kind of the administrative lead to keep things healthy. Mm-hmm. But I guess when you have 1,000 people, but just in terms of,
So when we have 1,000 people, we'll have the same.
Yeah. And even somebody said something about the problem with the parking lot is you have two services. And I thought, there's a lot of churches that are growing that have multiple services. And that's one changeling. Well, maybe that's something. And I'm not saying we do it. I'm saying that's something we're right. Thinking about. And that's one thing. The Christian church, that's almost part of their model, is having multiple services. Multiple could just be two, to give people a choice. And I was talking to Scott Williams about that 10 years ago.
It was interesting. I was driving home last night. And so there's the Catholic church right there at our thing. And at 5 o'clock is their mass. And their parking lot is full.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's going to a Catholic church at 5 o'clock? I guess people that don't want to wake up early in the morning the next day. But
Saturday nights are popular.
Yeah, and so that's just one of those interesting things. That, I mean, we're so much outside of the traditional churches of Christ. That, I mean, we've never had any service other than officially Sunday.
But yeah.
That's something that if we wanted to think about it, something different.
But part of
but that's not really, we have to have a preacher. So.
Church is just from, 5 to 6, and then you can party Saturday night and Sunday mornings, free. So, and your conscience is clear. So, just saying.
Yes.
So I fasted Friday and got the, understood what you guys were doing, and been thinking about this for a long time. And again, like you, a lot of questions, not a whole lot of answers. And also getting ready for preaching with Steve in a couple weeks and look at some things. And so there's a good quote from C.S. Lewis, and it said, "It would be rash to say that there is any prayer which God never grants, but the strongest candidate is the prayer we might express in the single word encore." An encore just means do it again, right? "And how should the infinite repeat himself? All space and time are too little for him to utter himself in them once." And so, like you're saying, to try to do the same thing, one, is it going to work? But, would that even be God's will? Mm-hmm. And so I think, and I don't think that we are trying to repeat what we've got. But the other is, and again, I find peace in this, is that I sit in these conversations with you guys, and I really respect what you guys are doing, and I really think that we're putting this in God's hands. And I don't know what God has in mind, but we just have to trust that it's his will, right? And you read a lot of Bible stories, and maybe the church is 5 people, maybe it's 500 people, right? But, that's out of our control, and put it in his hands. And then, I think about the decisions and thinking about us being shepherds leading the sheep. And so, it's hard to articulate this, but sometimes we'll talk about something or we'll interview somebody. And then in the back of my head, I'm thinking, is the grass green? Would I want the sheep to graze on this grass? And sometimes it's like, well, I don't see the green grass, but we're thinking maybe if we plant seeds, it'll grow. And then sometimes you see, like a Michael Santiago, that grass looks green. And so I don't know where God wants us to lead, but I'm kind of looking, it's like, I see something there. And I don't know what that is, but like a Michael Santiago, even with Ethan Laster, it's like, well, I see something there. And so, again, I'm just trying to trust God. I have peace in that, but also just saying, okay, do I see the grass green? Is that what I think the church could graze on that? Is that something I think would benefit us? And again, the pastures we've been at are looking pretty dry right now, and, other pastures are out there. And so, I think we just keep looking, and I don't like different for the sake of different, right? But okay, this is what God seems to be calling us to, and this makes sense. And, I never would have put Dale Robinson coming back and hiring a Michael Santiago, but if that's the way it works out, it's like, man, I say let's keep going forward until we say the grass looks brown. So, I'm just really trying to trust God in this and not have a timetable and, force it too much.
So I did my fasting on Tuesday, and as I was fasting, I was thinking about, okay, here's where we're going. And I set all that aside. I said, let me just set all that aside until I complete my fasting and praying, rather than in the midst of the fasting and praying, let those thoughts. And so And I had in my mind, you know, hey, this is where I'm going. And but it just became very simple, I think. Just taking that next step, whatever that is, I don't know what that is, just taking that next step. And then I think the other thing is that, I'm not saying we are, because I think these kind of weighty decisions, you should take very seriously, and I think we're doing that. And it also can stifle you a little bit because you're feeling the weightiness of what's ahead of you. And so it makes you want to be very cautious in how you make decisions. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But a couple of things. God has given he knew at some point that this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And he knew who he wanted here, to be a part of it. And he, for whatever reason, he chose this group to be a part of that, right? And so I'm not saying that with any arrogance, anything like that, because it's not, it's all about God. But what I am saying is because of that, I trust you guys. And I think because God has brought this group together collectively, that we have great decision capabilities, because we are a lot. There's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of respect. And so when you got those things working for you, that can help you work through some things, right? And so I guess what I'm saying is that I don't want us to be afraid to make a tough decision.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, even if the decision fails,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, but yeah. I don't know what that tough decision is, but I don't want that to stifle us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we feel like it's the way we should go. And so that's all I have to add to this.
Well, I didn't make it 36 hours. I only shot for 24.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think that I'm like a fairly disciplined and a patient, well-thought person. But 22 hours in, I realized that I'm not. So I got a little irrational, and I recognized it myself. But I think that one thing that I'm struggling with is I'm not sharing. I'm not understanding, I guess, the vision, where we've chopped apart all the different duties, and I feel like it's made all amalgus, and I can't. And it's hard to define what it is that we want. Like we've broken it all apart, but no, we don't actually have a picture of what we want. And to the point where we're like thinking that maybe us not having Ethan was a good thing, and that it's the will of God to do things differently, but it wasn't the will of God that Jeff was here for as long as he was doing it the way he did. None of that makes any sense to me. What does make sense to me is that, like, if me as a decision maker, I'm much more find like the best option and not wait for the perfect option and take risks.
Yeah.
And I'm a little decisive. Like when we're talking about where to go to eat or we're going to go on vacation or whatever, I hear the options and then I pick one and I'm done. You know, so this is very painful for me. I'm trying to be patient and trying to understand and figure things out. You guys can help me out. But what I did. You know, get a chance to go and watch the videos of Freddie, and I would prefer we had Michael Santiago as a lead minister with less experience, but who preaches the way that we need preached, and who has the presentation ability. Even though it's not mature yet, it's still better than what I saw with Freddie. So. I'm comfortable with finding a minister that's imperfect, you know, that has some areas that needs to be improved, and also I could not imagine hiring Michael Santiago and not having him be a preacher. Like I'm trying to like that the whole idea of like maybe, and part of that might just be I need to understand what a evangelism minister does and like how those are broken up or whatever, because I like we see it say the word, but like I don't see what it means, and I can't. And the thought of having evangelism minister but not having a preacher is, I can't. I don't get it. So Anyway, I want to be patient, and I might have to do more fasting in the future.
I mean, I'm right with you pretty much with what you're saying, and so I don't think you're alone. It's just, what do you do with that, right? I mean, so, I think if we had, we're not looking for perfect, but, and I think Ethan's great. I mean, if he wanted to do it, I'd say we'd hire him again. That'd be my vote. So I think we're figuring out just like you are.
For me, some of this is a process that I think is helping me let go of the notion we need to find another Jeff. He did so many things above and beyond, and he was really gifted at the pulpit and other things. And it's like, I need to just let go of that hunt, because it's okay to do things different and, hire imperfect and things like that. So some of it, I think, is that, because the first thing is, okay, who are the candidates out there? And if we'd had half a dozen great candidates, I was ready to choose the most Jeff-like one. That would be our congregation would, they've been around for a long time, lots of them, and that was just my, okay, well, we're getting dealt a different hand, and so I'm opening up to, imperfect and a whole nother model. Wow, maybe this person we hire only preaches half the time or something. Or we guard against whoever we hire pushing them into so much administrative minutia that it derails. That was a really good point you made last meeting, was that, wow, we could hire Michael Santiago and create a corner for him that's really stifling. If we're not
careful. Well, and this is what happened to Jeremiah, too. So, I mean, Jeremiah, Jeremy, all of them on their exit interviews, that was their problem, that they felt that they were overloaded with minutia, use that word. Mm-hmm. And that's, it was not the exact reason they left, but it was one of the things that helped them to make the decision to go somewhere else. Okay. So we can, and Jeff will not say that in the next interview, because he built it for himself. He took on the jobs and he knew what he wanted to do. But the thing is that the way they came, Jeremy, his has been for a long time, but for Jeremiah, it was, he came as a children's minister. He was doing the web page. He was doing this. He was doing that. On top of that, that was never in the written out paperwork. And we've sort of did that, written some of that into the preacher's one, but we need to pull those out.
Yeah.
Is they're really not that role that we're looking for. It's just bonuses that Jeff was already doing, we're trying to fill.
I think with him, we put in there 10% of your time will be doing other things.
And that 10% sometimes became more.
Yeah.
And especially as Jeremy left, it became, for Nathan, that's where Nathan struggles, I think, even right now, that he feels that he's over that 10% mark.
Right. And so I guess that goes to your question of the buckets. And so if people aren't willing to do what's needed, then we have to find somebody that will. And so, it used to be you'd hire a minister and they're cheap cooking bottle washer, right? But now they're saying, I'm not washing bottles. And so somebody's got to have to wash them. Unless we say, that's the expectation. You're still washing bottles. Otherwise, we got those gaps.
I don't want to sound too negative. I'm just going to say what I'm thinking, which I've thought and verbalized this 8 years ago with some other guys, that I've seen ministers today that are so specialized that they don't see the other things that need to be done. and I look for somebody that has a heart for ministry. And then but his priority is youth ministry, children's ministry, something like that. But just also sees the things that need to be done in the church, and they've got the availability more than others, because that's, they're there. They don't have another job, and I've I've seen more and more of ministers specializing and staying in their lane. And we've talked some about that. And I don't think that is asking too much, especially at a church that's this size. Amen. That's part of it. In fact, my next time I met with Nathan, I was going to talk to him about looking beyond youth ministry and with just the things that need to be done, which is especially with Jeff gone, there'll be more of that. And then it's just managing his time with what he's doing with youth ministry and what he does with some other things. And so I don't know.
I don't think this is a negative, but maybe one of the challenges that Nathan has is that his formal education wasn't in ministry. And when you have a formal education in ministry, I can't help but believe this conversation come up about you're going to have these other duties as assigned, you know, and these are some of the things you're going to have to do, things, well, you know, that you are kind of mentally prepared for some of that, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that could be part of his maturity, mm-hmm. you know, is that he didn't have that education, you know, like in a formal ministry undergrad degree. Mm-hmm. And so the expectation that he had for children's minister, as a children's minister, was observation from his children's minister, what you can see. You never see the full picture of anything. Mm-hmm. You know, right. You get a window. And so, you know, that might be just a little bit more maturity, a little bit more expectation mm-hmm. from him in terms of what the role really requires. And maybe that bringing him along, and I think we had said that we realized we're going to be bringing him along in some areas, and since we want those areas, bring him along. Mm-hmm.
Has everybody shared what they've feel like they've learned this week? Okay, what do we do now? I've heard a couple times again. Everybody share. I've heard a couple times the Michael Santiago and the Dale Robinson or another person, a part-time administrator. So let's talk some about that. Does that fit what we've been talking about as doing some things differently?
Whatever we do with Michael Santiago, he needs to be able to preach, though. He needs to be part of it because he mentioned that was what he saw, his vision.
I'm with you. I think you'd want him to preach at least half the time, maybe, in my head.
I would say even more than that.
Well, yeah, I would say, I would think at a minimum, but, and again, I would say, I'm just looking, okay, the grass looks green, mm-hmm. why wait? Okay, let's continue that conversation. Yeah. It's like, you know, hey, Michael, we've been praying about this, and your name just keeps coming up, and we don't know why, but you know, we like you, and you know, we don't, you know, and I would just say, you know, get on him quick and, you know, and start some conversations if he's interested, mm-hmm. get him up here. And again, I think we've heard it a couple times, you know, he may not be perfect. We may not have, you know, a full understanding of his pedigree and, you know, everything. But if he shows promise, you know, I'd say, you know, we hire him, and then knowing that we got to backfill with a Dale Robinson kind of person. But I don't think we have to wait for all that to come together because that's too much. Mm-hmm. So that would be me. And you know, again, like Michael, you know, Dale, and I wouldn't even be opposed to Jeremy or Ethan coming. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we've got a hook on with Michael.
You mentioned Jeremy. I would, like, Picker, well, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Is he...
I don't know. It was so Steve Hoff just said, "Hey Jeremy, you know we're looking for a minister, don't you?" Kind of half jesting, mm-hmm. half in seriousness, and it's like, well, I had thought about it, but
Is this a thing that he's considering though? Like, I know he's in his campus ministry.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Historically, from what I know, from my friendship with him, is that he was in preparation to look for a preaching job. The person that he got hired underneath is the person that was training them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had the opening for the youth minister for a long time, and the things that were going on here made him unsettled with the hiring of Nathan and with other things. And so whenever that he heard his mentor telling him, "Hey, this is opening, there's an opening here," he's like, "All right." And it just opened up really pretty easy for him. So that's why he left.
And then
would he come back is another question.
Yeah.
Yeah. During the interim time, he's like, I really like this youth ministry stuff. So that's
correct.
That got his passion towards doing youth ministry.
And while Jeff was gone, he preached every other week or at least once a month, if not more than that, mm-hmm. during Jeff's mm-hmm. sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And so then that was one of the things. It was a little bit of practice. And then he liked it. So, I mean, I met with him for lunch, I think, after the sabbatical, before he started his sabbatical. Or maybe it was during his sabbatical, one of the two. And he was still on that mindset. But like you said, that youth ministry thing, I mean, that's where his heart is at a lot. I mean, that's where he started out at as a teacher. And
well, right now, he's not youth minister. He's a campus minister, right?
No, he's youth a minister. Youth minister.
He's a youth minister.
The church is called Campus Church.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. sort of really funny, just the
yeah. thing. And here. Things are going well for him. I think our discussion about him would be not productive.
Mm. No, I think that they're, so if we would have done it 6 months ago, I think they would have all jumped and they would have all come back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Laura was super unhappy.
Yeah.
And they were, and then she got the new job.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as she got that, it's been really good. So the beginning of the school year has been really good yeah. for both the kids. The kids didn't like being there after camp this year and everything. They think that they're in a much better place, and so they're.
Oh, so they had a rough transition.
And Jeremy was really happy.
Yeah.
So his job went really well, but everybody else were struggling, especially because Kennedy wasn't there either. So she was at Harding, so maybe that she would have been able to pull the other two kids further. But.
Yeah, okay. And Ansley's doing very well, and he said she's making him look really good. As yes. a youth minister, because she's doing a lot of youth ministry stuff,
yes.
really creating a lot of stuff there.
Which well, I'm glad they had the time to turn that corner.
Yeah, yeah, like. Yeah.
I think with his going down there was probably a healthy thing to him.
I do too.
You know, a new beginning. Because yeah. I think what he wanted here is would be very difficult in terms of some of the things that people had ideas about him were etched in stone. Yeah. And I don't think he would be able to change those
right.
ideals. And so I think it would be very, very difficult for him to get what he was looking for here. And I think that still may be to a certain extent as well, you know, coming back to, you know, because I think there will be some resistance to some of the people that were not really fans. And so, especially.
That saying about prophets going back to their hometown.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, again, I'm going to bring this stuff up. If I'm too forward with it, let me know. Are we looking at going to the next step with Michael Santiago?
I'd say,
I think we need to give them a clear vision of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need to figure it out. How will we describe his role to him?
Yeah.
You know, I think having so that he would be able to see himself in that role.
We also just have to keep in mind, even if we pursue him and things go well, we've still got a huge gaping hole mm-hmm. that we can't ignore.
Yeah.
And if we do ignore it, it's not going to help with his
right
onboarding.
Because he's going to need leadership as well to a point that may be missing.
So, like, hiring him as a minister, not a lead minister, with he would be a full-time minister, with the understanding that our goal is to eventually hire another minister and that he would be able to focus more of his efforts towards evangelism and not be a full-time preacher at that point. Is that kind of like where we're...
What I'm hearing, and that's a great question, so let's flesh this out a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
A Michael Santiago, you know, prototype for him, I think... we would need a part-time administrative minister who was capable of supervising the ministry staff and kind of understands how a healthy church works and would have a radar up. I think Michael would still be, maybe we don't call him lead, but he'd be the primary. And we would shore up what needs to be done, the FTEs that need to be filled, how are we going to fill them, that analogy. Mm-hmm. And we've got to make sure between us and hiring, you know, we could do that. And so whether he preaches half the time or three-fourths of the time, you know, he's going to be the main But he's so young that the notion of him supervising, you know, Elizabeth and Nathan and whoever the new children's minister is going to be, that's probably not a reasonable
and I would
layer.
Add to that, again, in my head, I think you're spot on, is if we hired another minister, it wouldn't be to oversee Michael so much in the ministry, but more the admin. And again, in my head, you know, we would want Michael to come in and preach at least halftime, and I would have a very loose job description and say, Michael, here's what we think we need. You come in here and get to know us in 3 or 4 months. You tell us what you think you need, and then we'll work together. Because I think I wouldn't want to be too prescriptive in that and say, hey, Michael, you're preaching, you're getting to know us. You know, do we need evangelism straight away? Do we need to get small groups straight away? Do we need to, you know, shore up the foundation of the body? And I'd just say, you know, the first 6 months, you're going to help us get to know where we're going to go after that, and just kind of play it loose. You're going to be preaching, but you know, maybe have a few duties. But I would, in my head, that's how I would recommend kind of proceeding on that, instead of just having
transitional kind of thing.
Yeah, just real detailed, descriptive. Eventually, we'll get there, but I would think for those first 6 months.
Yeah, we're developing
right.
Him.
Again,
and developing him into whatever. Whatever our churches we want it to look like.
Right.
So.
Right.
So can I ask this question about the executive role? And this person came to mind. And if this person is a good fit, then we have to find somebody else to do the duties. Would, and I don't know her well enough to say this, but would Elizabeth be a good candidate for the executive? Since she knows, she knows the personnel, she knows the body. She's an administrator, in terms of what she's doing. So would she be a candidate that we would consider for that role?
And then hire a secretary?
Then hire somebody to do her role.
That actually occurred to me when he was talking
she's
earlier.
She's currently an administrator. That's her office administrator is her role currently.
Yes.
So we would have, so it'd be very, just from the internal.
Yes.
One, the ministry piece, she does not touch usually.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's having to lead ministers, it would be sort of odd.
Okay.
That just personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's thinking on a different perspective.
Yes.
It'd be almost like Dave coming in as the money guy, and that's how she thinks most of the time. So as she goes through, but that's her role.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's on the finance committee, she's one of the people that handles the checks and everything like that. But I think that it would be hard for her to make that transition,
okay,
because she would never let go of anything. Exactly. She doesn't let go of anything.
So Mike,
she does everything, but she does so much stuff.
Right. But
so
that's,
she would just keep doing it.
That's part of the problem, and Dave can answer this more than me. Is she is an alcoholic, and I've been thinking about her for a while, and that's the best way to describe her. Is she can't let things go, and it just seems like, you know, there's all this stuff going on, and it's like, why are you worrying about this? You know, this isn't where you need to spend your time. You know, we got these other things. And when we've tried, and it just doesn't seem, I mean, she's great at what she does. It's just, she can't let it go. And I don't know how you get past that in what you're kind of describing. I think she's got a lot of great talents, but, you know, I don't know how you would describe her, but that's the best way I can kind of put it in my head is she's it's a compulsive personality and doesn't know which piece of paper is the most important one.
Yeah. And she gets it all done. So that's
right.
The thing. So that's the only difference, because there's lots of people that...
And,
yes,
with, and
eventually.
With pain on herself and others.
And that's why she has pneumonia still.
Yeah.
And she will be back here tomorrow morning. And there's no guarantee. So she'll be here, one of the first people in the office, the last person out of the office.
Yeah. So, I mean, but Dave, I don't know what your thoughts are. You've worked with her.
I think that's a fair, and there are gifts there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
She also needs to be led to help her, and I think we have a mechanism to do that, you know, maybe getting back to the meet monthly instead of a little more haphazardly as an admin team, but because that'll help her, you know, get things checked off and stuff. But
so we need an administrative or executive minister that's able to lead. Like, we need someone with experience that's,
if,
I think that, as Carrie, a lead ministers. So
a Carrie Ferguson, I think about, she's administrative. Mm-hmm. Whether she'd fit the minister part, I don't know.
We need that personality type.
Yeah, but she's got a pretty good paying job, I'm sure, now. But I don't
know. Dale Robinson would be great.
And I think he's retired. If it was me, I'd say, no way, I'm retired. But he is taking another job in ministry, so.
Yeah. Well, he was going to do it as a volunteer.
Yeah.
But the church said, no, we're going to hire
him. Right, yeah, yeah.
I think there's a real opportunity here to simplify all the things that we do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm overwhelmed by the list that Jeff gave us with so much red. He was worried about falling through the cracks. And a lot of that are really good things that I don't know where to trim, but it seems appropriate for us to let go of some things,
yeah,
and challenge ourselves to let go of some things. Now, you know, and you know, our volunteer base, we've got folks that will step up, but let's make sure we're not stretching them so thin. Mm-hmm. Let's major in the majors and figure out what that is. And you know, if we double our size, then there's more things that. So I'm not quite sure how to do that. We've never been good about doing that. Whenever we have a champion for a ministry, go for it. God's moving here, and these are good things. But there's, boy, the list of things that we try to keep going is really exhaustive. And, you know, so that strikes me.
I think the reason why is we have such a varied body.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's the problem. So whenever you, sort of like the lights on the stage last week. Uh-huh. So you have so many different variations. And the problem is when you have a variation, you have to, it's pretty hard to decide which ones you're canceling and which ones you're not, because, you know, Steve is gung-ho about his thing and Don is gung-ho about his thing. And it's like, if I cut off Steve's or if I cut off Don's, then they're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Because they're passionate about that. And so that's usually what happens, that we have all these people who are passionate, whether it be grief share. The only way that we stop grief share is the person that was running it left.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing. So, and it wasn't that we canceled grief share, it was that they left and then we canceled grief share. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. So if anyone wants to start grief share, we can. So grow, that was a little bit different. But yeah, so it's really hard to figure out how to cancel the things on Jeff's list.
Yeah.
Because I've looked through it a lot. There. I mean, I'm happy getting rid of Trunk or Treat or any of these other things at times.
Yeah, that's one first thing Alicia said. We can live without Trunk or Treat.
But that's the thing, that it's really not making anything better.
No.
Because it's a very small little amount of time that takes a couple hours. But some of the other things may take a little bit more, but it's hard to really cut off, like just going through like a budget. So budgets are pretty easy to go through Xing things out, but most of these things cost almost nothing except for somebody's time.
I don't know where this fits. I'm gonna share it. And it can sound really negative, but I don't intend it that way. But I was talking to Nathan about, you know, trying to figure out all the administrative things that Jeff does, and he said, I'm not sure what Jeff does administratively. And I started thinking about
that. We've got a list, don't we?
Well, but looking at that list, a lot of that isn't administrative stuff, but it's overseeing stuff.
Mm-hmm. And which is important.
Yes, it is. It's
because
very
it won't get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Unless there's somebody that's not responsible for doing it, mm-hmm. but somebody that's responsible for seeing that it gets done.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so it's, mm-hmm. so just, and so when I thought about it that way, I'm like, oh, it's not the stuff that Elizabeth needs to get done. It's the overseeing
that helps her prioritize.
But her and all the other stuff that we talk about, we got to have it at executive minister. It's and that's one thing that they would do is oversee some things. Mm. And so
and they would help make decisions about the importance of paper A or paper B.
Yeah, right, and right.
What needs to be done.
Yeah. So
somebody who notices Barb Eichele getting burned out or thriving.
Yes, right.
Somebody who's going to notice that.
Yeah.
She's getting burned out.
So a comment about what Mr. McLaughlin said and what you said earlier is, I don't know if they're their intention, but I agree. Everybody wants to do certain things, right? And which ones do we do? You know, we can't do everything. And then, do we get the congregation involved as part of the process? And so, I think there's danger in that. And I think if we are ready to throw out and lead with some options, I think it's okay. But to open it up, you're going to get everybody saying, "I want to do 10 more things." Yeah. And instead of we're overwhelmed with what we're doing, we're going to have 10 additional things. And it's like, all you're going to do is set expectations like, that's not what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. I think
everyone we don't do, someone will hear no.
Right.
And feel bad about
it. And so I'm trying to put these two together. I think at some point we need to say, we are looking at these three things. We need your feedback.
Yeah. And that's focus groups you're focusing on.
Right. And so not just, hey, what do we think? So that I think is could help tie those two together, because I do think we have to say, which one of these three, here's what we're thinking, what are you guys thinking, kind of a thing. So
again, it's almost 6 o'clock. I have to leave at 6:20. And you guys can continue without me, but I'm sure you guys want to go home too. Is our next step talking to Dale, talking to Michael Santiago?
Sounds like it. I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I was.
Let me make a suggestion, and this is meant to be picked apart.
Yes.
Okay. How about if our next conversation with Michael Santiago, we give him the salary and benefits part like we did Ethan, and make sure what he's going to need, and then we talk to him about coming in for an interview.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've got three other names. And let's pursue them and find out if there's anything there that might be easily ruled out. Let's do that preliminary discussion with them and see what kind of diamond in the rough, or there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But I think for Michael, the next part is this, before we bring him in, we've talked to him enough and he's inquired about the salary range, and let's give him that package info. I don't think that's jumping the gun at all. Just say, look, this is, if you're thinking about moving, we can learn what he learned in Arkansas. We don't even know if that's, blooming as an opportunity for him or if that door closed after that visit.
Right.
Do you have that for him?
Pardon me?
Do you have that ready?
I think it wouldn't take me long if we want to look at him as, 3-4 years youth ministry experience?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
and he's going to work on a master's degree, but and I think, it's would we say 68 for, it's 64 or something like that.
So,
I'll put a number together.
If you could put that together for me, then I'll give him a call tomorrow afternoon. I'll have some time. Although my guests will be gone, I can do that. Would that be too much pressure for you to get that together? Okay.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you guys.
I think it's two pieces. I think it's what Dave described, but then also I think it's giving him a vision for the role we have in mind for him.
Yeah.
Because I think that's still hanging out there. Because we've, been back with him once and we changed the role that he had in the job description a little bit. So I think just describing the role, and I'm not sure.
We don't really have a role. We just know that we're not making it so much of a lead.
Not a traditional.
So what if we were
minister?
Not to give an exact number?
Pardon me?
What if we didn't give an exact number? What if we gave him a range and said 60 to 70?
Somewhere in the 60s.
And because then that gives us room, gives him room.
Yeah.
Because Edward Jones doesn't ever give numbers up. So I know that us, and they don't even tell anybody outside the firm what the range is. until you get well into the whole process where you're actually sitting down at the table with the HR as opposed to with the actual hiring person. So, I mean, maybe that's a better option. Yeah, right. Just because he was already asking about that.
Yeah, just make sure we have a range because Jeff didn't cannot explain that. Like they're doing, because that's a bit of a bait and switch to put pressure on people to accept a position at less than what they really would prefer to. Yeah. We don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, so we want to tell him that
if he's expecting 90, we'd rather he not waste his time.
This is what we're looking for right now, 60 to 70. We would take off the leadership piece of it, and maybe he'd have more stuff fitting in his explanation he gave us of evangelism or of an evangelist. And that would be,
I would say no.
No, what?
I would just give him a general job description. You know, I wouldn't, again, I
so you would leave in all that leadership of the staff and all the leadership of the office?
I don't know that we have said that. I think we know that we need that done. I didn't think
it's in our job description for a minister.
Yeah, right. Let them know it's fluid.
Right. I would say because it sounds like if we had a Dale Robinson, he'd be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Michael, you know, here's kind of what we think. You know, the first 6 months, we're going to have you preaching, you know, what are you comfortable with, you know, half time, 3/4 of the time. Mm-hmm. And then we want you engaged with, you know, knowing the congregation, you know, doing evangelism and just helping the elders figure out what our next steps are and what we need to focus on. And
not writing down anything and sending it to him, just over the phone saying, these are the thoughts of what we
that's in my head,
for.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to write down something down and, you know, that's either why he accepts or rejects and it changes in 6 months.
Yeah. And then the range sort of fits better with that, as if we're not writing, sending him anything official, this is what we're thinking, something like this. How does this set with you? Would this number be the 60-70 range? Would that be good with you?
And well, then, I would say the 60-70, and then, you know, we'll have some conversations and have a better number for you.
And the other thing is, I don't know if Dave told you, so he asked specifically about that to Jeff, whenever Jeff and him were having a conversation about
the ballpark, what are we talking about?
And again, he's looking at, I've got a family. Right. Can I support my family?
Okay. And he's coming
with
from
one income.
Austin? Or where's he
from
I think
Abilene.
Abilene, yeah.
And I'll tell him that you looked at, it's cheaper to live here than it is in Abilene, which that's hard to believe. But I'll tell him you said that and you're a righteous person.
I'm going to wait that again.
You can't trust Steve.
That's right.
He said, Steve said, what? Aren't you Steve?
Yeah.
Would it be enough to just say, we want you to be a preacher and your responsibilities would be preaching and teaching and, you know, encouragement of the congregation, assimilation with our ministries and leaders, you know, something like that, and leave the whole administrative thing out of it completely.
I'd say let's not bring that in. I like what you're saying. I think that's good. Yeah.
And then because that's no worse than where we are right now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so and if we can get him.
I just think if we had brought that kind of offer to Ethan, he might have taken the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we couldn't have afforded two Ethans, though. I mean, we couldn't afford
it. That's true.
But, and just to emphasize that part of it.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. But Ethan didn't want to do evangelism. So that was definitely a difference between the two of them.
Yeah, so I think it might be helpful to say, you know, the elders are looking to, we're open to new ideas, you know, we're open to see where God's leading us, but you are not in danger of ever, you know, somebody being hired in over you or anything like that. And I, you know, if I were him, it's like, well, you know, I'm here for 6 months and then all of a sudden you hire somebody else and I'm a youth minister or something like that. You know, he needs to know
outreach
that's not going to happen.
Outreach.
There you go.
Yeah.
But if you would prefer an outreach minister job,
flexibility,
we may be able to find something like that. So, I mean, so in that conversation you're talking, he's like, well, I don't know if I want to preach that much.
Well, he said, though, he's feeling called to preach. And in his mind, being a preacher and evangelist are the same.
I'm wondering if we know enough yet to know, will he be able to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard a couple sermons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if he has to come up with 40 sermons a year,
mm-hmm.
I, for one, totally underestimate what Jeff has done for 30 years.
Oh, now that you're preaching,
Well, yeah, but just thinking about for 30 years, the man has come up with series and lessons and things that are incredible.
Right. And back in the day when he was doing two sermons every Sunday,
and working
back and forth, he was just going back and forth between the two rooms, and
so you know, just to assume that you know he's going to be a great preacher, you know, after the first four or five sermons, you know. So I mean, I'm not trying to put a downer on it.
But should we say we expect you to preach at least 50% of the time? You can preach more if you feel, you know, that you can squeeze that in or if that you feel called to, but we expect you to preach at least 50%.
And just remember, we're hiring in at an entry level preacher.
Right.
I mean, I don't think I'd tell him that, but I think...
Because, if he thinks that he's got to come in here and preach every Sunday and everything else, that may be too much of a burden. Yeah. So
it just, we want to develop him into the...
It may be the one thing we do have him do. If he's preaching 50% of the time, he be the one that arranged, so that was the one on Jeff's list, whoever fills in for him.
Yeah.
Because then that sermon series, let's say, that he's building, so say he's building a six-week or an eight-week sermon series. Mm-hmm. So he decides that he's going to take, he's only preaching half of the time, he's having Don come in, preach on the same series, and just keeping on, and Steve comes in the next week, and he fills in for that other half, let's say, but it's all... He's creating the structure for the sermon.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a great opportunity is to have him or be responsible for maybe, I think the N.T. Wright series was great. I think we could do more things like that where
video series.
You know, there's we'd be lame if we didn't use the resources that are out there. You know.
Yeah.
And even with the full time,
these next 4 months with a lot of different people preaching, we may get a different view of that other percent of, that he's not preaching.
Yeah,
it could be no, we want him all the whole time, or we're like, yeah, we got some others that could really.
Yeah, because so the thing is that if I was a preacher, so say we hired Dale and he and Michael's there, and he comes in and Dale's in charge of making the sermon series, I would feel out of place. Mm-hmm. If it's my role to be the preacher, I'm doing 50%, it'd be hard to let somebody else run your series. I mean, I could preach on anything, but you would start to build that grudge towards him. It's like, that's not the one I wanted to do. I wanted to do this one, and so I think that could cause...
Yeah, I think he would decide what the series
is. He needs to decide that whole piece of it, so that's... If he's going to be a preacher.
So we're not making him an offer, but we're just painting a picture.
Yeah, and seeing if he's still interested. And then see if we want to work out a time, and then it would be for him to come in.
Is he in a position to come in and interview in person yet with all his communications? Yeah. We just find that out.
And so we've got two action items. You're going to call Michael, and Don's going to get a hold of Dale. But on that Dale conversation, we're looking for part-time, and what kind of a salary can we offer him?
Figure it out later. Okay. Part-time's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll, so, we would, you know.
Tell him we'll match plus.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, he has to work three times.
He's not going to be insane in the amount, you know.
I just want to make sure he can get that call.
We're paying somebody in the 60s. Okay, Dale might get in the 30s for his part-time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we can make that work. So there's a range there too. So
that gets me excited thinking about having Michael and Dale back. Mm-hmm. It really gets me. But.
With your excitement, I think we should pray before you leave, because I do think we need to leave this in God's hands.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And what excites me about Dale is I've always had utmost respect for him as a preacher and his knowledge of ministry and his knowledge of churches, and now he's even better because he's seen a lot of other different systems out there.
And too, I think for me, it's his lack of ego. I mean, he does he does not self-grandize.
No.
I mean, he is all about the kingdom, advancing, he's just a great person.
And I think
he'd be a great mentor for Michael as well.
Yeah. And I think in that getting to come here, I think paying for a lot of his moving expenses with whatever all that would be, because we're asking them to come. So,
yeah.
And so that would be, we'll come help them move.
I don't think that's going to be the barrier. I really think the barrier is going to be his current situation with the church there.
Yeah.
I think they really like that church, and they mm-hmm. they see a calling. I think he sees a calling.
Which church is he at?
It's called. It's not a.
The last time he was here, I tried to look it up. I didn't find it.
It's not like a church or something. It is
Sophia or something, a one name.
I can't remember. I mean, it's not a traditional Church of Christ or.
No.
Neither are we.
True. Good point.
Yeah. So even if things don't work out with Michael, I think we're changing our model in this way, mm-hmm. and we think that would, right now, mm-hmm. is what we're going to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And you change the players and you shift the gifts a little, but in general, you know.
The three people that we were investigating, are we still?
Yeah, I've got their stuff. In fact, I got an email from Kaylin today with somebody else.
Oh.
I haven't read the email yet. But.
Yeah, because so one of the things that I know from that conversation, I don't know if any of the three actually are available, Steve, are they? Did you say any of them? Or I thought
one of them was not available. Another one, Rob Duncan, he's in New Mexico.
Got a new job, was it?
Yeah, I think so. As a worship leader, he's a very energetic, and he's a good speaker. I've heard him a couple times.
Yeah.
And the other one, I forget. And Kaylin was like, I have no idea whether they're interested, but here are some people. But here's Steve. Normally, I would let the dust settle on today before passing this on, but I know you all are meeting tonight. Below is a lead on a candidate that Dan Knight from OP, that's the church in Kansas.
Overland Park,
texted me this morning. Here's a response that Alex Fagan sent me. He was on our search team. Preaching opportunity, again, it's the first time I've read
so
this.
So Overland Park just hired a new preacher. And so this is, so that if I know a little bit of the background, so basically that's where they were at when they were, it's been like 3 years, 4 years, something like that. Since 5 years, I guess, now since they've been there. But they had a split or something, lots of the people had left, and all during COVID, so they struggled during that time. Since then, they've now started to grow back, and they've just hired a brand new preacher. So they've been doing this, the same thing we've been doing for months, looking for a new preacher. So they had a couple of number twos and threes, and I think this is probably the number two person or the number three person. And so that's what they're doing, because she had asked him about that. If you had any other candidates that you passed up because you chose somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says, please feel free to mention my name and give my number and email to them. I'll also try to contact Kaylin next week. Hope everything is going well for all of you. We'll be back in Kansas City in October. The birth of our
second. That's the actual candidate saying that?
I think so.
That's
for our second grandchild, which tells me they're older. Which is a negative.
Is it the candidate or is it an elder who's talking to Kaylin as she forward?
I don't know.
I think that's who it is. So the Knight guy is, I think, the guy in Overland Park, isn't it?
Oh, so there's a guy named Dan talking to, so Darren Kennedy is the guy that is looking for a job. I'll probably need to talk to Kaylin and see. And
make sure.
And maybe you or I can make this phone call.
All right. We need to pray if he's leaving at 6:20. Who's leaving at
6:20? Well, I was told that Ferrato's is very crowded, to stay tuned.
Oh, okay. All right. Over there. Okay, then.
Oh, no, he says we got a table. So, yeah, so I got to go pretty soon. So. And sorry, I got to leave early.
No. We got a lot done today.
Yeah, so. You want to lead us?
Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this evening. And thank you for the gathering of the man you put to do this task that's ahead of us. And Father, we don't want to lose sight that you are our leader, and we want to be followers. And,
mm-hmm.
We're thankful for a way to arrive at a next step, and right now we have Michael Santiago in front of us, and we have Dale Robinson in front of us, and those are the areas that we're going to move forward on. We pray, Father, that if these areas honor you, that you will open up the doors.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If they are not the areas that we should go, that we'll close the doors appropriately. Mm-hmm. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Great.
Steve, three things, really. And you guys can all hear it. So the 29th, I will be in town. So we'll be back from Family Day. So I can preach on that day if you need me to.
Okay.
Logan Whalen will be in town during Christmas time.
Oh.
So Carrie was telling me.
Oh, that would be great.
And he would be happy. She's like, I'm sure would be happy to preach.
That would be outstanding.
So I'm not sure the date yet. She's going to look and get that for me. So that's just a positive. Because those are all empty almost, except for Nathan's week.
Yeah.
So the other one is the Brockingtons will probably be here in October. I would not put them as preaching. So I don't know what our role is with them right now. I know the missions committee, and we've had several conversations. We're not really supporting them officially. But members are definitely welcome to do it. So we probably wouldn't want them up there preaching or even talking during a service. But just know that they will probably be here